Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Baghdad, Iraq, and learned the grocery store business as a young boy from his dad. In 1973, he opened the first Merchant of Vino Marketplace, a specialty food and wine store. After growing it to 7 stores, he sold them to Whole Foods in 1998. 2 of his sons, Mark and Matthew, are following his legacy with Plum Market. A modern-day Horatio Alger story, his name, Ed Jonah. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're very pleased and honored to welcome back a familiar voice back to these WJR airwaves. Every Thanksgiving for over 20 years, you would come on and tell us about food and wine, the famous Eddie Jonah. Ed, welcome. A real honor.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood in Baghdad and your mom and your dad?
Well, my dad originally came to this country in 1927 and was here for almost 8 years and was here during the Depression. And the reason he wanted to come to the United States, he had read that you can work for Ford Motor Company and make $5. And he wanted to come to the U.S. Took him 3 months to get here. And when he got here, he landed in Boston, wanted to know where Detroit was. So finally, after another 3-4 weeks of travel and ended up in Detroit with a couple of his friends, did not end up working for Ford Motor Company, but he actually opened a food store. And the food store was here for about 8 years. And he used to tell me during the Depression, where chicken was 10 cents and butter was 5 cents a pound, couldn't sell it, did not make enough money to bring my mother and my 2 brothers. So he came back in 1938. In 1939, I was born, and from 1939 to 1949, my dad saved enough money to bring my 5 brothers and 1 sister to the United States on November 27th, 1949.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think the greatest gifts in the world are to have a great father that can mentor you and that can take you into the right steps of what your future is going to be. My dad taught me a lot about business that I will never forget. He was a great businessman. One of his favorite stories was when he bought his first store here, he put up a sign, "The world's greatest hamburger." And I said, "Dad, how can you just say that?" He says, "Because I'm going to make the best hamburger. If you give people quality, you will always succeed in life." And by saying that, he really made the best hamburger. With that, he sold pickles, ketchup, pop, Coke, and everything else that went with him. And people knew him. So the reason I'm telling you this story, because in all our life, we need a niche. And my father believed everyone should have a niche to make him successful.
In 1964, Ed Jonah, you opened a grocery store in downtown Detroit. Talk about that experience.
Well, 1964, I was called Trade Winds. We opened a store, and we had been married since 1961. And I told my wife that you have to take an opportunity when opportunities come. And it was a great store, and unfortunately, in 1968, it was destroyed by the riot. But again, there's no country like the United States where they give you opportunity to come back in business. And 6 months after the riot, we rebuilt the store, and it was more successful than ever before.
How did you ever think of the concept of Merchant of Vino Marketplace in 1973?
Well, actually, it began in 1971 when Juliet and I wanted to take a trip to Europe. It was our 10th anniversary. And we went to France and had the best time of our life. When you go, I wouldn't say second class, but on a budget, you enjoy yourself so much. And on the way back, Julie's theory is that every time we travel on the way back, Juliet always asks, "What did you learn?" And what did the trip mean to you? And her answers, I asked her the same question. She said that the people in Europe were wearing blue jeans, high heel, drinking Perrier and wine. And she says, I really think we should advance ourselves in the wine business. And then we met a guy by the name of Al Perica, which had just opened a new advertising agency. And I said to him, our dream is to open a store with a lot of wine, gourmet foods, and cheese. Could you get a name for us? And 2 weeks later, he came with the name Merchant of Vino. And such a great name. And I think names are very important in any business that you're going to start. And we built the Merchant of Vino. Opportunity came when we went to a Pepsi Challenge taste. And a guy by the name of Mike Giancotti owned that store at 17 Mile Rochester Road. And Juliet said, see if the store is for sale. I asked him, and he said yes. And that was the first 12,000 square foot store of just wine, cheese, and coffee.
How did you get the wine, Eddie, to open that first store?
Well, you know, the wine business was a wholesale company that was actually going out of business, and they had a tremendous inventory, and they were going to auction everything off. And I went through the warehouse, and I said, why do an auction? I'll buy every bottle you have. And we ended up buying $300,000 wine inventory for a fraction of that cost. And just fill that store. When people came in the store, they said, oh, my God, we've never seen so much wine. And as you know, in 1973, it wasn't easy to sell wine because people usually said, you know, give me a bottle of JB and a bottle of Gordon Gin and give me a bottle of wine, but put in a brown bag. So wine didn't have no respect at that time. But it was the beginning, and you sort of have to create that business that we wanted to create, a Merchant of Vino. So what happened, Tish Myers, a lady that was a writer for the Free Press, wrote a story on the Merchant of Vino. And I got a call from Hal Youngblood. He said, I'm the producer for J.P. McCarthy. We'd like to have you on the program to talk about Thanksgiving wines. I says, really? And then when I came, and we had like a 10-minute segment, and it just put the name the Merchant of Vino on the map. Because of JP.
We're talking to Ed Jonah, who everybody knows in town, but if the truth be known, a huge portion of his success is because of his soulmate, his partner for 51 years, Juliet. When we come back, we're going to find out about Juliet. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Ed Jonah, who in 73 opened the first Merchant of Vino Marketplace, a specialty food and wine store, eventually grew it to 7 stores. 51 years, your soulmate, your partner, a huge portion of your success. Tell us about Juliet.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her and for giving me 4 great children that came up in the business. But one of the factors was in 1980, we were opening the Northwestern store, wrong side of the street. Nobody knew us on the west side, on the wrong side to, on the way going, you know, home. And we were very nervous about opening because we did sell a lot of liquor at that time, no liquor license. So we were ready to open the store, and I was looking to do a charity event and get a caterer to cater the opening. And Julia said, I'll do it. I know how to cook. And the next day, Sandy Sullivan of the News wrote more about Juliet's food than she did about the Merchant of Vino, which then people came in the store. We want that food. And that was the beginning of actually carry-out food, in which I want to give a lot of credit to Juliet, in 1980, where she prepared from a tiny little kitchen. She produced the most fantastic foods anybody could take home. And that enhanced, and her thing was that the Merchant of Vino should not be, at that time you said to your husband, go get a bottle of liquor and get some wine. She thought that the wine shop should be for women as well. And she wanted flowers. She wanted to add the woman's touch to it. And because women shoppers at that time start going to pick up the wine and the beverages, not just sending your husband to shop.
Tell us about the milk story, if you would.
Well, you know, my dad, like we said, we learned a lot from our fathers. And 14 years old, standing in the store next to him, a young lady brings back milk, and she said, this milk is spoiled. And my dad looked at her and smiled, said, thank you, we'll take it back. Me being the smart aleck, I grabbed the milk and opened it up and start to smell it. My dad didn't say nothing after she left, and I heard a big slap on the back of my head. My dad said, what did you do? I says, nothing. I just wanted to smell and see if the milk was spoiled. He said, you just called the customer a liar. He said, you can never insult your customer. They are the king and queen of your business. You must treat them with respect. If you're going to take something back, take it back proudly.
That explains why you have that indentation on the back
of back
your
of my head.
all right. The world-famous cheese story.
Well, the cheese story actually began when we opened the Northwestern store, and that was in 1980. The lady by the name of Sylvia Krause, which was a dear, dear friend for many years after that, walked into the store with a foil-wrapped piece of cheese that said that the cheese was spoiled and moldy, and she wanted to return it. But just being open 3 weeks, I opened the cheese, and it was Saga Blue, which is a German cheese that has supposed to mold. And I took it back, and I says, of course, it's moldy. Learned and remembering about the spoiled milk. And weighed in, it was $1.28. And she says, I said, do you want your money back? Or you want to? She said, no, I'll walk around the store. She ended up buying $12, $13 worth of stuff. Gave her credit, and as she was ready to walk out, she says, what's your name? I says, Eddie Jonas. She says, you know, you're going to make it here, Sonny, because you took the cheese back without asking any questions. And I want you to know, I didn't even buy the cheese here. I bought it in another store. And when I went to take it back to the other store, they told me, what? It's supposed to be moldy. It's Saga Blue, but you took it back. And I said, Sylvia, the cheese is moldy. That's all, the end of the story. And I took it back. She became a great customer. On November 16th, she walks in with her husband, Nate. You know how you don't want to go to a store like your wife is pulling you by the ear? She says, this is Ed Jonah, my good friend. My husband needs a basket. I says, great. So he says, what is this? I says, this is olive oil, extra virgin. This is balsamic. This is chocolate. He kept throwing things in the basket and got a bigger basket. Pretty soon the basket was $302. That says, for you, Nate, $300 even. You know, when you buy a suit for $604, the guy wants the $4. So make it a round figure of $300. He said to me, Ed, can you deliver? I says, of course I can deliver. He says, I need 120 of them. $36,000 order from a $1.28 piece of cheese. And that is a true story.
We're talking to the iconic Eddie Jonah, Merchant of Vino. Now his sons have Plum Market. One more story, if you would, Ed.
Well, this story of, I will bring my boys, Mark and Matthew. I have a story that I learned many years ago in tasting wines and going to wine vineyards. And I said to the guy, why do you make such great wine? He says, because I stress the vine to make good wine. And I think in all our life, we must stress our children to become good leaders, good producers, and instill in them what they don't learn in college. And the story that I want to tell you is for the people out there that are thinking, you can give your children a lot, but the most basic thing that you can give them is great stories about your life and your family and your attitude in life. And my boys have come, not only my boys, my two daughters, which are just as successful as my two boys, Monica and Michelle. And Jack was asking me, how do I feel when I walk into Plum? It is probably the most satisfying thing of my life, because when I walk into those stores and see what these two boys have created on their own, with a little help sometime, but the help is that I brought them into this country, and that's all I've done for Plum. But what they have done is very gratifying, to see your children do a job better than you can.
Today, Ed, in the mistaken name of love, so many parents want to save the kids from the very thing that made us who we are. And what you say is, stretch the vine and you'll get good wine.
That's it. You must stress. There's a guy in California, which we sell, calls them dirty tomatoes and dirty girl tomatoes. Let me correct that. And we sell them for about 3 weeks at a time, and he makes the most incredible tasting tomatoes in the world. So we called him up, what makes your tomato different? And he doesn't water them. And if you know any good wines and good fruit, if you overwater anything, and I mean by overwatering, overgiving your kids too much money or spoiling people and stuff like that, you don't create that great vine. You don't create the better wine. You don't create the better tomato. So I think that where that face come was from my dad. He didn't make it easy for me. And I never forget when my dad, at one time, I was in line for the next store, and my dad said, no, I'm going to give it to your uncle. And he needs it more because he's got a family with kids and everything. And I kind of felt bad. But he was stressing me where I went on my own and I created whatever I wanted. And I wanted to be his partner in the food business. And his story was, Eddie, here's a plate of food. Do you want half of this plate or do you want to go out and make your own and get your own? And that's what life is about. It's not about taking from your parents what they leave you. It's about taking and what you create for yourself and be success of your own self.
For 24 years, you and Juliet built, ran the Merchant of Vino. It was a second family to you. Talk about those 24 years.
You know, they're the most gratifying times of my life because it was like, a startup computer company. You know, really, it was, in a sense, a startup because wine was not respected at that time. And building it step by step, you know, having people like Mondavi, where they used to fly over Detroit, now started becoming him here. Juliet's idea was that you must get out of the box, or you must get out of your context to see what's going on. We made frequent trips to Napa Valley, to Europe, to everywhere, and this created a love for this business like that. And we used to bring products back. I mean, Juliet used to say, New York is another world. It's not part of the United States. And when we went there and brought products and put them in the store, and people would come very disappointed. Eddie, I just went to New York to buy this cracker, and here you have it in your store. So the Merchant of Vino was a step by step. Another thing I want to tell people that are young starting a business, every 5 years you have to reinvent yourself. The Merchant of Vino was reinvented 5 times in a row. And the last time it was invented, actually was reinvented by Mark coming to the business, adding more to the wine business, and Matthew coming in and adding the homeopathics.
We're talking to Ed Jones, and when we come back, we'll ask him about the bidding war between Wild Oats and Whole Foods in 98. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Ed Jonah. And Ed, take us back to 1998 and Wild Oats and Whole Foods get into a bidding war.
Well, Wild Oats came in to buy the business, and Juliet kept saying, you boys are really giving it away because your potential of earning and what you can make in this business, and I have a lot of belief in you, Mark, and Matthew, and the girls. Why are we selling this business and they're underpaying you? And even though they were giving us a lot of money, Juliet was totally against all of us, saying, no, we're not going to do it. So we ended up not doing that. And then I got a call from sitting in my office. The guy said, my name is Jim Sudd. Is your business for sale? And I said, no, my business is not for sale, knowing that Julie didn't want to sell to Wild Oats. And I hung up, and he called back again and said, is your business for sale? We want to buy your business. And I said no the second time. And then Matthew walked in the office and said, who was that, Dad? I said, some guy from Whole Foods, Jim Sudd, wanted to buy. You turned him down? It's one of the best food companies coming around. I says, well, he'll call back. And surely enough, he did. And when he called back, he said they were flying in. And they flew in on a Tuesday, and being afraid to take them around the stores, not the employees, you know, hearing about you want to sell and all that, we kind of tried to play it down, and they looked at the stores, they said, we want to have lunch. And that was about 11 o'clock. And I said to Julia, I called Julia. Now, Julia, you got to put a lunch together because we're going to bring him to the house. I don't want to be seen in a restaurant. So she cooked up a great meal. And we ended up going into Julia's wine cellar, which is one of these days I'll tell you how that started. And we had a great lunch. And John Mackey said, I want your business. I want to know if this house comes with it and Julie's wine cellar. And I said, no. And he made us an incredible offer, which, you know, you work hard in this world, but sometime you get real lucky. And any of you guys know when you're playing golf, you know, you hit a shot you didn't expect. And you need a little bit of luck. And that was the luck that we got. But the luck just didn't come. It came from hard work.
My dad used to say, when you're his age, you don't buy green bananas. The time is brief. Tell us about Juliet's wine cellar.
Well, Juliet's wine cellar, when Julie came into the business, her thing, she didn't want money. She wasn't doing it for the money. And she would say, just pay me in wine. When you get a good case of wine, put my name on it and put it. And in 1980, when we built the Merchant of Vino on Northwestern Highway, it was, I don't know if many of you remember, it was 7,000 square feet upstairs where the food and everything. But then you went down a beautiful cellar that an Italian guy built for me. And when you went down there, the idea was to make this a little different, because I believe wine is a living thing and you have to treat it temperature controlled. So I thought this would be a real different aspect to approaching wine, where the wine is usually on a shelf, not protected from heat and stuff. So the wine cellar, we had 8,000 square feet of wine underneath the basement. And then what we did, we put in 22 lockers. So you could rent a locker if you bought your wine. You could rent a locker and put the wines in there. And we had a locker for JP, and we had a locker for the governor. We had a locker for Dick Purton, and all with their names on it. And they would buy. And when they saw those names, other people wanted a locker. So the people would come to buy great wines, wanted to create a wine cellar, but they lived in an apartment or they didn't start their wine cellar. So we put all the wine away in there. And the Wine Spectator in 1983 came to visit the store, Marvin Schenken, which was a dear friend of mine that I met many years before, came into the store and said, this is the greatest wine shop I've seen, because you have the love for wine that you keep in the temperature control. And so he named us as one of the top 10 stores in the United States in 1985.
Now you go to Andiamo's Giovacari, they have those lockers. You go to Luciano's Bacco's, they have those lockers. Another thing you started. As you tell more stories, maybe the real guest we should have here at Jonah is Juliet Jonah.
Exactly. I asked her to come with me, and she said Juliet was always in the background. I mean, we used to do catering parties where people would come in and say, Eddie, what a great salad. They didn't know I didn't make it. Eddie, what great food you have here. So she always never wanted the limelight, and she's truly deserves it a lot more than I do.
George Burns and Gracie Allen right here.
And even much better than that.
All right, 2007, your sons Mark and Matthew start a store called Plum Market.
Well, that's a unique story, because at the time that we sold out, we had a non-compete for 5 years. My son Mark worked for Whole Food for 6 years that he was working there. And a little story about Mark. Mark, when he went to work for Whole Food, they were a $1.5 billion company doing wine sales of about 1%. When he left, their sales were $4 billion and 7% was wine. So he did a great job building their wine business. And John Mackey said, the greatest thing about buying the Merchant of Vino was Mark Jonah. And he put us on the map in the wine business. And Mark traveled all over the world buying great wines and made great wine shops out of Plum Store, out of Whole Food. So then we were, at that time, Mark, my son Matt, was in charge of all the real estate development for us. And we had done a development that was going to be in Royal Oak, and we needed a retail store on the first floor. And Matt said, you know what, Dad, I grew up in the business. I can do it. And if I can convince Mark to leave Whole Foods and come, we can open a food shop again and let's do it again. And I said, great, let's do it. But unfortunately, that location never worked out. The Lasher and 15 Mile location became the first Plum Market. And it was a success from the first day because Matt and Mark took it beyond any expectation that I ever dreamed that a food store could go to.
How did you ever come up with the name Plum Market?
Well, there was we had a accumulation of about 80 names, and that a young lady in Ann Arbor helped, and Matt and Mark went through the whole list, and they kept coming back to the word plum. In the beginning, I didn't like it. They liked it. But, you know, a plum means choice. It means rewarding. And it is a name, again, like Merchant of Vino. It just kind of sticks with you.
What's the biggest thing, Eddie, your sons have taught you these last 6 years through Plum Market?
Well, one of the main things that I've always believed in, but they took it to another level. When you walk into a food show store, what is the most important thing that you think a customer wants? It's not price. It's not what the customers told us. They wanted a clean store. They wanted products that are up to date. They wanted healthy merchandise. And one thing about, I got to thank Victor helped design the first store, Victor Soroki, which is my son-in-law. And the boys took it to another level and adding to that design between Mark and Matthew and made the store streamlined. And they cater to the customer. Cleanliness. If you walk into a Plum Market bathroom, it's got flowers in it. The floors, they spend a ton of time designing those floors, shelves, and making it very convenient and relaxing to shop.
We're talking Ed Jonah, and the Merchant of Vino stores were children to him and Juliet. Now these Plum stores are grandchildren. And when we come back, we'll ask him about that. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Ed Jonah, who opened his first Merchant of Vino marketplace in 73. And now his two sons, Mark and Matthew, have Plum Market. And they're opening a store now in Chicago, 1225 North Wells, Christmas Day every day. The new Bronners. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But when you go into this Plum Market every day, it's like a grandchild to you, Eddie. Talk about that.
Well, it's more than a grandchild. I'll have to say, you know, it is like a grandchild, but it makes you spend, you know, when we spend time with grandchildren is what we missed with our children. So you say it's like a grandchild. Actually, it's even more than that. It gives me such great satisfaction to always, when you know that your kids can do a better job than you did. That is the most rewarding thing in the world.
Do you give Mark and Matthew advice every day?
Well, you know, this is the hardest thing about retiring. And I got to throw this in because you can't help yourself that when you're in the business, when you go in and you see, when I come back after being away for the summer, or for the winter, I come back and they have done 97% to perfection. And I'll pick that 3% they didn't do, and they go, Dad, are you crazy? How about the 97% we did right? But we have, it's that thing in me still teaching and training and stressing the wine. So I really mean it as goodwill, but sometime at night might come out that way, you know. If the true stories is, I think when you have a business, you have to talk to it. And what does that mean? And my dad used to say, Eddie, you have to talk to the store and let the store talk back to you. I said, what do you mean? He says, I want you to go. Well, no matter what business, you should do this to yourself. I always said, walk in an hour before the store opens. And as you walk around, you look at a display and you say, you ask the, why am I not selling? And the display say, well, I don't have a sign on me. Or the display might say, why is this like this? Because they didn't sweep last night. So the store talks back to you, and your business, take time out to listen to your business, to tell you what's wrong with your business. No one else in the room, close the door. And I think a lot of people don't listen to their business, what they're doing wrong and what they're doing right. So when I walk into these stores, not being there for about 6 months, I see things that the boys didn't see. So I do bring it up to their attention. I get a little hassle. So if I'm complaining in one department, I'll hear it on the PA. Dad, you wanted up front for customer service. So they'll maneuver me around.
There's never been a prophet under his own roof.
Exactly.
Growing up in Chicago, my folks were Slovak. My dad was a mailman. We didn't have much. They taught me so many great things. And one thing my mom used to stress to us was lacenia davakrat platsene. Literally, that means inexpensive, twice paid. And what she would say it is, we're too poor to buy cheap. We didn't buy often, but when we bought something, clothes, furniture, we bought quality. Tell us a story about too poor to buy cheap.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I say this to a lot of people. We all have a Maserati body. And if I gave you a Maserati tomorrow, what kind of gas would you put in it? Would you put cheap gas or would you put good gas? We are blessed in the country of the United States that we have the greatest food production anywhere in the world. If you analyze and take everything that you spend for, whether it be taxes, travel, clothes, cars, house payments, everything, food is in the bottom. Small percentage of your salary really goes to food, and yet we neglect that. And I think this is a story that Plum tells. If you eat healthy, and Mark says live well and eat well, you know, this is our slogan. So if you take care of good quality food into your body, that makes you better. So Juliet always cooked with her heart out, her food. And I remember one Sunday that where there was a big storm, I walked in the store and I was going to put her salads at half price. She happened to walk in later and said, what are you doing? Why are you giving my hard work away? I worked. Discounting doesn't mean anything, she says. You always give the customer their true value and they will always come back to shop with you.
Ed Jonah, what you look like at 20 is God's gift to you. What you look like at 60 is your gift to God. You're 73. You're very young at heart. You are a Maserati. How have you kept that youthfulness?
Well, I got to tell you, one of the most important things in life, I think, is to have a great partner. And again, I have to bring, you know, Juliet, 51 years. We had a great partnership. You know, they say that stress kills people. You have to sort of not put a lot of stress on you. Sometimes we're all too hard on ourselves. Stress can kill a lot of people. And if you don't have a lot of stress, and you, the way you get stress is when you have problems with your children or grandchildren or your wife or your business or something. I have been blessed with good fortune to live in this great country, to have good friends, good children, a good business. And so, you know, if things are going right, it's a great thing to have that, not to have stress. And God has blessed me with less stress. So if you have less stress, you're going to make it in this life.
Plum's just opening a store early next year, 1225 North Wells. That's right by that famous Whole Foods store. And this Walgreens, tell us about the Whole Foods and the Walgreens.
Well, the Whole Foods is one of probably the best Whole Foods stores. You know, I just got to tell you a little story about Whole Foods. When I first started in the wine business, people used to say, do you like Gallo wines? I says, of course I do. They're my favorite wines. They said, why? You're selling these better wines. Why do you like Gallo? Because Gallo makes wine drinkers. They teach people how to drink wine, and eventually they will come to buy a little better bottle of wine. So that's what Gallo does. In the same way, Whole Foods does the same thing. They have been the greatest educators of organic food, health food, doing stores out of the box. And sometimes you have to reinvent yourself. And they reinvented the food business. And that's what's so great about Whole Food. Whole Food has been in Chicago. They have many stores. So they have laid the path. So hopefully it'll be a little easier for Plum Market.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
Well, I wrote a couple of things down here. The word, never say it's too late. Never say I can't do it. Never say they have done it all. Be a risk taker. And make a major decision in your life before the age of 40. Because after 40, you get trapped. Don't get trapped. Think out of the box. Also, life is like getting on a bus. If you don't get on the bus, you don't know where life is going to take you. Sometimes you say, I don't want to do this. It's not committing the rest of your life just because you got on that bus. You don't have to stay. It makes frequent stops. So when you get on a bus, and what I mean is by you take a job as a bag boy or you take a job as a clerk for somebody or something, it's just a ride to the next step of what you're going to do in life. So I say to you, do not miss the bus. Have a goal in life and think about it every day. The journey of getting there is more important than when you get there. Remember, it's not about when you get there, it's nothing. But on the way, planning it and making it happen is the true thing. But last and not the least, find a companion that you can share your success with. And that is all about living well with taste.
Ed Jonah, you are a shining example of somebody who lives love and loves life. Stay young, keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, and I thank the support of all the people that have showed toward our food business in Michigan, and thank you all Michiganders.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.